From the Ground Up is all about us learning with you, with all these experts that we are bringing in on, from simple strategies to the most advanced property strategies. These people are all successful in what they do and have so much information to share to you, and we cannot wait for you to listen.
James, good to have you on, man. You've been a busy man since we last saw you. We were just talking just then. You're building quite the empire on the rentals in a few years. But for everyone that hasn't met you and doesn't have the pleasure, give us a little bit of a background on yourself, because certainly recently that you kind of quit your job into property, but you're scaling massively.
Yeah, sure. So a brief history then, Zach, would be had my first buy to let in 2012. Didn't really do a lot for the first few years. Started to buy one by one a bit more seriously in 2018, in parallel with corporate job in project management, and then bought a very small block of flats in 2021, I think it was, during COVID. Was really pleasantly surprised how well the numbers worked on blocks of flats, and that sort of sent me off down a bit of a rabbit hole to see how we could accelerate the portfolio, which at that point was a handful of units, by buying big blocks. So found the sort of fairly niche strategy of title splitting, so buying a big block of flats, trying to borrow off the aggregate flat value rather than the purchase price, and basically needing to put little or no money in, and obviously that'll just allow you to accelerate your portfolio building. I was looking around, probably was 2021 into 2022, found a great block of flats down in Torquay. I think it was 11 one bed flats. Was going very well, the figure stacked, vendor pulled out, and we lost it, unfortunately. So kept looking, and bearing in mind this was the first one at this point of this sort of new strategy, we ended up finding a block of 40 down in Pembrokeshire, on the market for 1.4 million, and just over everyone getting their calculators out, that's 35k a flat, which Pembrokeshire's cheaper than the southwest, but it's not that much cheaper.
Crazy, that isn't
so,
it?
I mean, it was one of those ones where you didn't need to run it through your spreadsheet, you just knew it was right. I pushed hard to get to the front of the queue, basically, because there was a lot of interest on that when it went on the Sourced app in September 2022, just before I quit work in October 2022.
Wow. So you're at, the 64 units?
Sorry.
So you're at 64 units now, right? So you
think that's 60, I think it's 64. We have that block 40, which came to us as one big apartment block. And then you guys will know very well with your own business, once you start to grow in a certain area, it becomes easier to continue to grow in that area, right? So, we bought another block of 5 two-bed flats, about 20 minutes away from that one. And then another block of 5 flats with a commercial unit. So what's that? 51. And then we've got something like 4 in Abergavenny, 3 flats and a commercial unit. So 55. And I think we've got 9 properties in Bristol. So 64, including 2 commercial units.
Do you know what I love? I love when you're like trying to count how many units you got. And that's only in 2 years as well. 2 or 3 years, you've been able to just start building up portfolio. Like, how many do I got? That's class.
Yeah, I always think you've done well when you lose count exactly of where you're at. Yeah. You know, you're scaling. Go on, sorry, James, go on.
I was going to say, it does keep I do keep forgetting where we are, but yeah, 64, including the two commercials. And it's a bit of a mixed portfolio as well. So we've got three HMOs in Bristol, and then a few single lets in Bristol, mix of houses and leasehold flats, where we just own individual leasehold flats. And then everything that we own in Wales, we own the whole lot. We own the blocks, we own freeholds. And we're, yeah, trying to develop those further at the moment as well. Solar on the roof, trying to, yeah, see what else we can achieve. Find, squeeze even more cash flow out of them.
I think a lot of people are going to want to understand more about how that block of 40 deal happened. So we definitely have to get into that, because that's pretty impressive. That's the kind of
thing. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, that's a great case study. Yeah. So yeah, found it. Sourced app back in September 2022. Phoned the sourcing agent straight away as soon as I saw it, and it had only come on that day. And introduced myself to him as the guy that was going to be buying that block, because I was so confident that it was the right one for us. And I was fortunate in that we'd already done a lot of the, we sort of had a dry run with the Torquay block. So I'd already spoken to solicitors, I'd already spoke to right brokers. So I knew who I needed to reach out to, and obviously they knew me, so they could react quickly. It wasn't a cold call. So got onto the solicitors, got onto the broker, Alistair from Finance, who was sort of pioneering the idea of 100% finance on properties like title splits. And yeah, quickly sort of confirmed that we could achieve what we were setting out to do, the 100% finance. So I went away and did my own valuation exercise to see what should they cost. And I did that sort of a number of ways to give myself confidence that I wasn't just deluding myself. So I ran it through property data, the individual flats. I went through land registry data myself, just downloaded the CSV files from land registry and just looked up average square footages and, looked to see how that would compare. And I used sort of Nimbus area averages as well, Nimbus maps area averages. Put all this together, and basically this 1.4 million block, whichever way you looked at it, was going to be worth between realistically 2 and 2.4 million. So amazing, right? What a crazy uplift. A bottom end of 1.9 million, because we wanted to have all of our money out, frankly, because we didn't have that sort of money to be playing with. And obviously progressed with the bridge loan, the 100% bridge loan. And they sent out their valuers, or we booked in their valuers. I think it was something like, it was just after we booked in the valuer, that Kwasi and Liz Truss came out with their mini budget, which, as I'm sure you remember, just put the whole property market into a massive amount of fear a couple of months, realistically, while we all sort of watched. Yeah. Mortgage products got pulled, right? People were losing finance on development, on bridging. Deals were going under. People were failing to exit. Rates, when you could get them, were just going up and up. And nobody knew what was happening. So that's the environment that valuer went in on, was, yeah, halfway through that month of October. So when he did write his report, he wrote it up at 1.875 million. And I was gutted, frankly. Like, the report came through on a Friday afternoon, and I was like absolutely gutted. And then I think sort of talking to Laura, my partner, she was like, sort of brought me down to earth a bit and said, you do realize that you're really upset that we've just made, just shy of 500,000 on paper. and you're upset that it's only just shy of half a million. Okay, the champagne did come out of the fridge. We did have a bit of a celebration. Looked at the figures again, and it just meant that we had to put 88,000 into the deal. Now, when you consider, obviously, again, as you guys know, 25% deposit typical for buy to let, you know, that was, we were putting down what, 4% deposit, I think. So it was a good outcome. Incredible. Yeah.
What's the rent? What's the rent roll on that now?
So I think at this exact point in time, we are 38 units full of the 40. We've got one guy's just moved out, but it'll fill quickly. And one is undergoing a bit of refurb. So that'll be a few months, but well, perhaps a month or two before it's filled. And I think we're at 18,500 or 19,000 a month with those two empty. So we should be 20,000 to 21,000 a month when we're full.
That's amazing.
Look at that. One deal.
Yeah.
One deal to change your whole life.
One deal. Yeah.
Yeah,
so and then we...
What do you think got you over the line? Because like you said, there's so many people going for it. Like, was it the fact that you had all those local contacts and you could act the fastest on it? Like, what was the kind of situation there?
It was... So I really was very... You know, I chased that saucer like nothing else. You know, I literally...
Yeah.
Like I was basically, you know, I'm going to be your best friend for the next month sort of thing, ringing in most days. Every time he asked for information, you know, he asked for passport scan, he had it within 20 minutes. You know, he asked for proof of funds, not that we were tending to put money in, but we showed him some proof of funds and he had it within 20 minutes. And he very quickly realized that working with us was going to be much easier than some guy he was going to be chasing for weeks for that document. And, you know, he was, there was a fair bit of paperwork. They asked for like letter of intent, which, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that's probably never heard of a letter of intent. So, you know, we put that together, like, you know, head to term sort of document, quite quickly and got that back to him. And, I think they ended up, I think there was 50 people that contacted them via the Sourced app that day. And we got shortlisted down to like about 3 or 4. And then I did ask him later, a guy called Josh, and he said, yeah, you were just consistent in getting everything to us and you just seemed completely genuine that you were going to complete on it. You were very confident that you were going to do it. He said, and that just made my job easier. So he was happy.
That's true. If you think about anyone in sales or in sourcing, like they don't, you get so many people that just kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
And then when they have this serious person, they're like, oh yeah, just like everyone else. Like, I'm going to put all my attention to this guy because he's obviously on it. I think that's so true. So many people think that the best offer wins, but we've recently realized that we weren't the best offer with some deal that we've just done. We're probably the worst deal, like the worst offer, but we got it. Because it was relationships and the person liked working with them and they don't want to deal. But it's awesome. I mean, that's such an incredible story. I think the
simple strategy, isn't it? Like just following up, right? Like
flats and
absolutely.
Yeah.
I think
following
like
up is just key. Definitely.
It kind of shows you like you kind of assume that everyone would be doing that in that world. It's kind of cool. Like, wouldn't everyone be following up loads because they all want it that much? But it just shows you, like, just doing that makes you exceptional in the group of people, doesn't it?
It does. You're right, and it is something that, you know, if that is your mindset anyway, if you are just, you know, you are organized, you follow up, you treat it like the business that it should be, rather than, you know, a sort of a sideline thing. Then yeah, you're right. You do become exceptional, and you sort of assume that everyone's doing that, but yeah, they're not. You know. Not all landlords reference check, you know, not all people follow up on deals. It's stuff that we assume is just the norm, but not everyone's
second nature, yeah.
Don't know, not everyone's our type of norm. That deal took longer than we expected. I think we finally completed in the February for various reasons. We were doing the title split in parallel, so there was quite a lot to do. But in fairness, it was more bridge companies around that time were starting to become more demanding in the documentation they wanted. I mean, partially because of the environment that we were in right then financially, you know, the after the mini budget. But also, I think that's continued. Yeah, bridge finance now is, it's sort of like mortgage. You know, they really want to see everything. That it's not the quick, you know, purchase process that it used to be. But we got it. Yeah, so we got it completed in February. And then started to look pretty much straight away at, you know, how do we expedite land registry? How do we get off the bridge effectively? And then from that, you know, what is our mortgage product looking like? So the good thing about that was, well, partially that mortgage rates are half of bridge rates, right? But it was also that it gave us another opportunity to get a valuation in a slightly different financial environment where hopefully value was going to be a bit more lenient, generous. So we ended up there in September 2023. Yes, September 2023, going back in for valuation again. And this time we got the 2.25 million valuation that I predicted in the first place. So it was,
amazing. They made more money.
And a bit left over. It was good. And nice
and
to find
plus
out
the rent roll.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it turns out my valuation skills aren't that bad after all, you know, provided there's a meltdown in the background.
So yeah, that's just an incredible deal.
Sorry, Zach, go on. It's a bit of a delay here, interrupting each other.
I was just saying how incredible it is. It just baffles me. I bet you everyone listening to this right now is just like, where do I find those deals? But not like most, this is the thing, most people won't go find that deal. So they'll just be left to James.
I mean, in fairness, I've been trying to find a deal like that again. You know, I'd buy one of those, well, a couple of times a year if I could. But, you know, we've had, don't get me wrong, we've had great deals since then, but nothing up there like that one. It's, I'm confident that we will find one eventually. But yeah, 2 years later, basically, still looking for something to beat that one or match that one.
I guess it's the consistency. It goes back again of looking as well, right? Like in all avenues at all times, so you don't miss them.
Yeah, it's the interesting thing is, so that block, when I sort of over since we found it, over the last 2 years, when I've honed my way of searching and gone back through historical data, old auctions. I use EIG sometimes to go through auction data pack, and then sort of bought into EIG's premium product where you can look at historical auction costs and their prices as well. And I found our block, which had gone to auction in, I think it was 2019 maybe. Under $1 million, $995,000 guide price. And I don't think it had a single bid, which is crazy, right? And I also know from speaking to the sources that before it went on the sourced app, where, like I say, I think maybe 50 people saw it and were interested in it, it had been bouncing around a few sources for a few months and nobody had bid. So it's like, they are out there. And in some cases, they're being ignored. You know, there's not necessarily people chasing them. So you've just got to smash the figures on everything, I think.
So that is madness. How do you look for those kind of dealer names? So, like, this is something that Eve and I obviously we've talked about multiple times. Like, you look in America, and this is what they do so consistently over there. It's like that's the strategy. Like, big box, buy them up. Get the red roll, do a little bit to it, you're good to go. But I think it's quite a limiting belief to a lot of people in the UK that you can't do that. So, like, how did you get into that? Or more importantly, like, what are you looking to know that deal's good or another deal for that matter?
So I suppose the most basic part of it is effectively, you've got to find a block which is block priced rather than individual flat priced.
Yeah.
So that difference in price is, some estate agents will just price in the individual flats, and that's what they'll give as a value to a block of flats. Others don't, and you find the variation. It's different in different areas of the country. So cities, urban areas, you tend to be able to find that difference more. And coastal areas as well. If it's a, you know, a seaside spot, then that can work well. If you found a block, say, in Merthyr Tydfil, no offence to the place, but yeah, it probably wouldn't work.
Interesting.
Rural areas, it probably wouldn't work. But, you know, so if you can find, I think over time you sort of get, you can almost just get a feel for it. But, you know, say Cardiff, an area where, you know, where you guys know exactly what you're doing, probably street by street, you can look at, you know, opportunities and know what's good and what's not. So, you know, you might see an area of Cardiff and know that minimum price for a one bed flat in that street is 200,000, say. So if you suddenly, you know, if you spot a block and it's priced at 1.5 million and it's a block of 10 flats, you know, so it's worth 2 million as individual flats, you can sort of spot that without even needing to go to your calculator. So that's your sort of your start, is just seeing the difference between the two. And then because we're typically buying these on bridge finance, you do have to calculate the cost of holding it as well. So you realistically got a 6-month hold period. It's because of day one mortgage rules, where, you know, they say in the first 6 months, if you remortgage, you can't get any uplift in valuation. Typically, there are some workarounds, but so you have to sort of allow a 6-month period of being on bridge. So that adds to the cost of the purchase. Some of these blocks you may need to be doing some works on as well, so that's got to be factored in. Typically, we try and buy blocks where no works are essential. So the utilities have been split. You know, they've already got 10 electricity supplies or 10 gas supplies or whatever. And then, you know, yeah, maybe you want to put a new kitchen in, or everything needs a fresh coat of paint or whatever. But we're looking for ones where, yeah, we're not having to mess with utilities. We're not having to move any walls, because then there's no, you know, there's no planning to do. There's no building regs to do. It just becomes a solicitor's paperwork exercise to chop it up. So finding those is one of the bigger hurdles, because effectively you're looking for property that's been to some extent undervalued, right?
Yeah.
So you have to look everywhere. I mean, you can find these on Rightmove and Zoopla. Actually slightly easier using On the Market, because On the Market website, not mobile app, but website, has a blocks of apartments filter, which is
quite useful.
Auctions can be a good place. Just networking, you know, that could be a good, because blocks of flats typically owned by landlords, you know, there's not many owner occupiers in blocks of flats. So off market, direct to vendor stuff, you know, all that works well. And then effectively, yeah, you've just got to work out the individual flat price. So as I said, property data is a good one for that. Just manually doing it via downloading the CSV file from land registry, cheating and using Nimbus or Searchland, or, you know, any of these methods are all good. And then, yeah, if you find that the price, if your aggregate flat value is that much more than the purchase price, so typically we're looking at a purchase price that's like 70-75% of what you think the split value is or individual aggregate flat price, then that's a very good indicator that it's going to work.
Interesting. I'm writing this down because this is so cool. I'm learning to watch. Because I just think, what's your thoughts? Like, we're going to go into the title splitting stuff, right? Because you're like, that's kind of where you're making the juicy bit of money, right? When you kind of revaluing it and stuff like that. Is that the one reason why you got into looking for blocks? Or was there other, was it like also a cash flow thing?
So the first one that we bought, I mean, we sort of bought it by, well, I bought it without knowing about title splitting. So it was a block of 2 3-bed flats. Previous owner was using it as student accommodation. It hadn't been renovated for like, since he built it. He built it in 2006. I bought it off him in 2021, I think it was. And it still had the kitchens in it from 2006. He was charging, I can't remember, something like £1,000 a flat for a 3-bed flat in BS2 Bristol, like ridiculously low rate. We did, you know, a really nice refurb on it, and it did look beautiful. The area is, you know, it's a really cool area for people to live. It's close to the centre of the town. And it sort of worked like a HMO in terms of cash flow, but without the hassles of a HMO, right? You know, less arguments of the guy in room 6 has stolen my milk. Can you fix it, please, Mr. Landlord? You know, it's because it's 2 3s. It's 2 groups of 3 friends that are just renting a flat together. So that worked really well. And it was like, right, how do we buy more blocks of flats? At that point, we were putting our 25% deposits in, which obviously we all ran out of 25% deposits sooner or later. So then, yeah, I just went on a bit of a research and reading sort of rabbit hole of, you know, how do you finance blocks of flats? And it was that led me to process of title splitting, and then also sort of finding Alistair, who I mentioned before from finance, who was at the time sort of making a product around bridging for title splitting, which I don't think anyone had done before. And that sort of gave us the means of, going from deposit-based investing to hate to no money down, but, you know, not putting money in investing.
Not having 25%.
I mean, money went in, like I say, but yeah, obviously 25% of 1.4 million is not a sum of money that many of us have lying around. And this does give you an option to buy that sort of investment with the sort of money that people put into, just a little 2-bed flat purchase almost, you know.
Oh, wow.
Crazy. It's absolutely, it's a really cool thing. It's not something like even I have talked about wanting to do for ages. So it's really cool. Even you just talk about it. We've talked about it before, but
it would go really well with your business as well, because that would be the sort of the layer on top. You know, you've bought a flat or a block of flats undervalued. Maybe you put no money in. Ideally, you put no money in, and then at the end of it, rather than getting market rent, you're getting serviced accommodation money off it as well, which is
And I think when we look at like how we want to start building a portfolio, like I'm really starting to understand those different choices that people make, like whether you're choosing to build a portfolio for just long-term gains or you build a portfolio around cash flow. And I think when you want to do, obviously it goes up in value anyway, but when you're looking at the cash flow element, then suddenly like blocks are great, aren't they? Because like you said, you're kind of doing one purchase, but getting all these cash flow kind of avenues from it.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. So let's go into the title splitting. So kind of like jumping around it, like, but it's the core of everything we're talking about. It's like what's made it work, isn't it? So for anyone that doesn't know, I mean, also for us, but for anyone that really doesn't know about it, let's just go right back to like the basics of what it is first. Give us a beginner explanation and then we can go into it some more.
Yeah, okay. So effectively, title splitting is taking a block of flats, or doesn't have to be a block of flats, could be could be a house that you're splitting into, but certainly the way that I do it is a block of flats, which is on one freehold title. Let's say it's 10 flats for sake of argument. And because it's on one freehold title, its appeal is quite restricted, yeah? Not that many people want to go and buy a block of 10 flats or can afford it or would even think of doing it in the first place, whereby one part of that block of 10 flats, that, say, one-bed flat, has massive appeal to lots of people, yeah? Because it's a lot of us, it's our first home, a one-bed flat, and then a bit later on down the line, it might be our first investment as well. So huge demand for one-bed flats, small demand for blocks of 10 flats. So the process of chopping that up is referred to as title splitting, but more accurately, it's creating long leaseholds. So again, most people will have heard of leasehold flats rather than sort of typically freehold houses. And effectively what you're doing is you're creating that lease. So you're saying for 125 years or 999 years, we're now doing 999 years, you have a lease for that flat. And that's the way of chopping a flat, a block of flat into individual bits. It becomes leasehold. And I probably should point out the fact that we're having this discussion on the 4th of September, 2024, because there are some quite big changes coming, which I will address as well. But for now, and the past and the present is creating leasehold flats. So those leaseholds can then be sold to anyone. You could sell them to an owner occupier. You know, it could be, like I say, someone's first property after they get off, move away from renting, or it could be people downsizing, in later life. A lot of people want one bed flats, two bed flats, whatever it might be. So you effectively engage a solicitor, they typically are not your standard conveyancing solicitors that you might just use for a standard personal residential property purchase. They tend to be commercial solicitors with a focus in property. We tend to use commercial solicitors now for just about everything we do in property because we just find they're easier to work with, more holistic approach to buying property. So you engage with your solicitor, and they create the leases for these flats. You have to supply them with some of the information. Most notably, you need a title plan for each flat, which a lot of people will have seen, leases, which on one of the many pages, will have, a little outline of the floor plan of the flat, but drawn to a proper scale, not just a state agent's plan, with a red line around the edge usually. So you have to get that, which if you're lucky, it might already exist. Maybe someone's done some planning recently and there's an architect down the street that's got them on file still. Or otherwise, you've got to send someone in to measure up with a certain level of accuracy. The rest of the lease is basically dealt with by the solicitor. They may ask for your input to some extent, do you want 9 and 9 year leases, 200 year leases, and so on and so forth. But they split those properties. Now, remembering that you said, keep it simple. So that's how you create your leases, and that creates the individual flats. So the reason you do it is because they're just worth so much more money as an individual than as a block. I think that probably...
It's good. It's good. Yeah, you're literally creating a more sellable thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Way. I mean, sometimes it's... I suppose one way of thinking of it you know, sometimes you go into that that corner shop and you know, the unbranded corner shop at the end of a little sort of residential street, and you go and get a can of Coke and it says multi-pack, not for individual sale on it. And you're like, oh, well, I'm buying that as an individual can of Coke. What's going on here? And effectively, the shop owner's gone down to the cost, you know, the cash and carry or Costco or whatever, or maybe they've even bought them in Lidl, I don't know. And they worked out that, yeah, if they buy the multi-pack, they're so much cheaper because it's a pack of 10 or whatever, that they can then go and charge, I don't know, £1, £1.50. Well, what's the can of Coke cost these days? I don't even know. And they'll make money on it, right? And it's basically the same process. It's that supply and demand of, yeah, chopping things up and selling it off, sort of almost like acid stripping a business.
Yeah, do you know what I was thinking? I was thinking of the Cadbury, like it's the big Cadbury blocks, and then you can get like the little Cadbury bars. And if you were to buy the same amount of blocks for each of that, like I reckon it'd be like 10 times the price. And we're talking like, obviously like a couple of quid here. But just in my understanding, I think I know the answer, but I want to confirm it. If you think about when you buy the block, you're basically the freehold. And if you're then just renting it out to people, there's no leaseholders in there. They're just renting off you directly. And then you're probably just charging them a service fee, correct?
So it's a good question. Good question. I didn't cover. So yeah, that's probably the next bit to explain, perhaps. Yeah. So what you end up with is, as you said, the leaseholds that, you know, you've worked with your solicitor to create, and then they get registered with Land Registry. Very slow process, which I can come back to as well. And you also have the freehold. And I sort of think of the freehold as being like almost the empty wrapper that's left, you know? So it's like the outside fabric of the building. It's the roof, it's the external walls, and the leasehold flats are the individual bits of flats in the middle. And one can't survive without the other, yeah? If the outside of the property went, then you'd have a floating flat in the air, which wouldn't work. And in the same way, you can't have one without the other in terms of leasehold and freehold arrangements. You also can't own leasehold and freehold in the same legal entity. So what we do, our preference is to have what's called a top co and bottom co arrangement. So basically, it's like a group holding company at the top. And then underneath that, we have a subsidiary company or bottom co. The freehold goes in the top and is approaching worthless. It's got a little bit of value, but approaching worthless.
Worthless.
And then the leasehold sit in the bottom, sit in the bottom co. And that's where the value is. Now, with regards to your question about the leaseholders, so we are effectively the freeholders in our top co, and then the leaseholders in our bottom co, and the tenants are simply simply tenants who just happen to be renting a single flat from a leasehold owning company rather than from a freehold owning company. The service charge, bizarrely, is charged from our top co to our bottom co. So we charge ourselves a service charge, but it's only there so that it's got to be the freeholder company that, for example, takes out the insurance on the block. So the leasehold company, therefore, has to be the one that puts its money in for the freehold company to go and say, yeah, we'll insure this. And if the roof starts leaking, it's the freehold company that will go and fix the roof. But it has the right to charge the leasehold company. And then what would happen in the case of, let's say, I mean, with our big block down in Pembrokeshire, you know, it's a long-term hold for us. It's the cornerstone of our portfolio, effectively. But say we wanted to sell some off in 20 years' time, we could choose to sell one of those leaseholds, 10 of those leaseholds, the whole lot we wanted, to anyone, maybe to another investor. But likewise, it could just be to an owner-occupier. And regardless of who bought it, the person that then owns, when I say they own flat 6, the new owner of flat six will have to put in, you know, 1/40th effectively of the overall insurance cost, service charge cost, so on and so forth.
Like shared freehold and that kind of situation. And
yeah, so we've not done it as a share of freehold. We've just done it as a traditional leaseholder, freeholder setup. Yeah.
Planning on selling any of them? Or?
We're not planning on selling them. Like the share of freehold thing is, you're right, better if you're doing, if you're planning a sort of a development exit where you sell them off one by one, because it means at the end of it, the leaseholders are the ones who are going to have that management company ownership, yeah, or via a directorship, but effectively ownership. Yeah. And that's better for them. And it's also better for the developer because developer can fully exit, but it's also good for the leaseholder because, yeah, they feel more confident that they have a share of effectively the inverted commas, you know, roof above their head as well as the flat they live in.
Yeah. There's kind of a perception around like the value of that, I think, especially for like single purchases, like that, like you said, that makes them feel better, like there's some extra worth to it. Yes, I guess the control element is what is valuable, right? But it's not actually worth that much now, is it really?
Not anymore, no. So there was a, you know, for a long time, there was a sort of property play for, you know, basically having freehold rents. So yeah, that ground rent that, you know, you often see in Rightmove adverts, you know, it'll say there's a £250 typically ground rent. And you just look at it if you're buying a leasehold flat and say, oh, well, that's annoying, but it's only 250 quid a year, who cares? Obviously, if you've got a block of 10 flats and that's 2,500 a year, then all of a sudden it's almost money worth, well, it is money worth having, right? Yeah. So people would sometimes buy the freehold to get that £250 times 10, 2,500. I think there was various different ways of valuing what the freehold would be. I think for a long time it might have been like 10 times, so like 25,000 to buy 2,500 worth, roughly. And I think it varied again by parts of the UK, north versus south divide, for example. But now with the the freehold leasehold reform, with that coming in, people are already starting to offload their freeholds, freehold rents, investments, because there's a potential they're not going to be worth as much in the future. That might be a good segue into. It's a good segue. Yeah. So I think it's hard to know exactly. I don't think the date's actually been announced. So definitely coming in. I think it's going to be like no earlier than, you know, the end of this year. Obviously, people will be thinking, well, how's that going to impact title splitting, right? Is that the end of title splitting? Is it going to take, I don't know, the profit out of title splitting and stop you doing title splitting? I've had various sort of questions come my way along this. And effectively, the short answer is, as somebody that's looking to use title splitting as a strategy, there's nothing to worry about. What it's going to do, common hold, which is going to be the replacement, common hold is almost the same as share of freehold that we briefly discussed earlier, where, you know, rather than having that freeholder and leaseholder, you each leaseholder in the share of freehold setup has, part of that freehold, as it says, share of freehold. So, you know, a management company is formed and the directors of the management company are the owners of the flats, who could be, in our 10 block flat example again, could be 10 owner occupiers, they could be 10 different investors, it could be one investor that owns five, and, you know, some individual ones. And common hold is going to do something very similar. It's effectively going to be like share of freehold. The confusing thing is that they've decided. So what we currently call leaseholders, under common hold, leaseholders are going to be called freeholders. Wow. So all of a sudden, we're going to have freehold flats, which have never been a thing, right? I mean,
wow. It's so confusing, isn't it?
So like, confusing.
Literally, call it the opposite of what it used to be now, basically.
Exactly. And then they're calling what we call freeholders now common holders. I mean, that bit's fine. That makes sense. But like, changing freeholders, leaseholders to freeholders is crazy. But other than confusing us all, the only other thing that it's really going to do is it's going to, you know, there's going to be a lot tighter restrictions on people trying to make money off service charges, which has been a bit of a thing in the past, and ground rents going, obviously. So what does that mean to a title splitter? Well, we started focusing on 999-year leases anyway. So as far as that sort of reversion at the end of the leasehold when you need to extend it, it's like, I mean, I don't care, right? I'm not going to be around in 999 years. So loss of that isn't going to make a blind bit of difference to me. Ground rent, well, when you're a title splitter, you're the top and the bottom, yeah, the freehold and the leaseholder. So charge yourself if you want, but I mean, it's...
You're not in it for that.
Exactly. So it's a tiny little bit of profit that you would have had, say, if you went and sold off half the flats and kept half the flats, that you're not going to have. But it was never what title splitting was about. It was just potentially a little bit of extra money for somebody. So it's not, other than confusing us all, it's not really going to have any negative impact on title splitting. Title splitting will continue.
It's like it's going to more affect agents or management companies that are making money from the service fee.
Exactly. That, yeah. And
there's
been
that thing going to treat quality.
What do you mean?
The units or the management.
What
and stuff.
I mean by that, like, yeah, like the management company. So, for example, like we're in the Hayes in Cardiff, it is phenomenal. Like, they upkeep that, like, no tomorrow. You know, the garden. It's immaculate. There's no rubbish. There's like birds everywhere. It's beautiful. But for example, if they're like all of a sudden capped, I think it's $5,000 a year here as well, the service charge. It could be wrong.
Wow.
I think it's about $5,000.
It is
immaculate.
Yeah.
If that's like all
does
of a sudden
get worse?
300 or 302 apartments, you know, that's a wedge. That's a massive wedge. That's like a couple of salaries.
Have no more birds and flowers anymore, basically.
I know. How are we going to live?
So supposedly what they're trying to do is, so there's been a sort of, with insurance, there are, shall we say, stories of management agents getting huge kickbacks on block flat insurance. So, you know, as you can imagine, if you've got a block of, well, like your block there in the Hayes, right? Imagine what the insurance is on that. I mean, it's going to be tens of millions, if not more. So when that contract is awarded to an insurer, that's a big thing for that insurer or even for their broker, right? You know, for their broker, that's a big payday. So, there does seem to be anecdotal evidence of management agents getting certain perks, shall we say, for placing that insurance policy with this broker or that insurance company. And that's the sort of thing that they're trying to stamp out with the reform bill, is to make it more transparent, limit, think like percentages chargeable on like admin fees and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
where they can hire extra.
Yeah. So it should theoretically, same service level should be available, but with a less accepted profit for agent.
Yeah.
However, your point is still valid, because if a management agent has been used to getting X amount of profit, and all of a sudden the rules say they can now only get 90% of that, you're right. What are they going to do? Take less profit or cut costs?
Yeah.
They're going to drop the gardening hours down from 10 hours a week to 5 hours a week, aren't they? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Well,
so, yeah, there could be. There could be
birds are going to stop tweeting.
Yeah. And you don't feel like you're in the middle of the city centre. It's pretty unreal. It's like on the top of the shopping centre, right? So you're literally just walking around like in a little oasis. Pretty crazy. No. So let's talk about what you're doing now.
Then you do realise, there's a delay, sorry.
Yeah,
I was
going
to say, you do realise when you have the buskers that screaming and bonging and everything. That's why we're moving.
Yeah, we're not actually worried about the gardening, particularly, are we?
Yeah, no.
Let's talk about what it is you're doing now then with title splitting before we finish. Obviously, it's your thing. You know loads about it. We've only scratched the surface of what you know. So tell us what it is you're doing with all that next. Now it's exciting.
Yeah, so I've been, I suppose having conversations like this with people in my network, with people like yourselves and some mutual connections we've got, where I've sort of given some pointers on, how to title split a block, get the best benefit out of it, introduce them to the right people, show them how to navigate through, land registry quicker, because you don't want to get stuck on the bridge at 12%, a year when you can get onto your term finance. So I've been helping people do that in my network as just sort of, doing my bit for the group sort of thing. And it's, something that I really enjoy doing, frankly. It's like making money out of thin air. It's sort of it's quite a buzz. So I've now started a side business, the Title Split Consultant, and
awesome.
I'm now working with clients to help them with their sort of their purchase of blocks of freehold flats, how to find blocks to split. And effectively, I'm sort of offering a number of products. So I offer a sort of offer to exit sort of mentoring course, where somebody that's got a block of flats, they know about title splitting, they just want to be guided through it the first time because they know there's pitfalls, there's, potential for delays, and they don't want to get caught up in that. And I can sort of navigate them through, introduce them to the right professionals, learn from the things that I've found out over the years. And I'll sort of get them all the way through to clearing their exits, ready for that move on to mortgage finance at the end. So I sort of started with that product, and then people said, but we actually don't know how to find the deal in the first place. So I was like, okay, good point. All right, well, I'll teach that a bit as well. So I sort of bolted that onto the start, and that's now Offer to Exit Plus, which sort of, literally takes you from how to find the deal, finding it, and then right through to getting onto mortgage at the end. And then just as a sort of afterthought, I thought, well, I'll offer my timeout just by the hour as well, just in case that's useful to somebody. For things like title splitting, buying blocks, and surprisingly, that's been the most used product so far, is people just wanting deal stacking now.
I mean, there'll be sort of more hands-off investors, people that they're not trying to educate themselves in loads of debt. They'd rather just pay someone to get it done and get it done quick, and time is money and all that kind of thing, right? So
exactly
wanting to trust someone and get the job done.
Yeah. And one of my clients is exactly that. She's, she's not even based in the UK, but she does a lot of deals in the UK, and she just hasn't got the time to do anything with the deals that land her. She's got an incredible pipeline from being in real estate. She's now got me looking at, some of her deals to basically do a report on, this is how you structure it, this is what you'll get per month, this is how much money you need to put in. And I quite enjoy doing that. So it's a nice little addition to my own property portfolio to be doing that for other people as well. Best place to find me for that is LinkedIn. I'm sort of that's my favorite place for hashtag the title split consultant work.
Yeah, we'll share it at the end. We'll share it in the what's it called, whatever the box is called, description.
Great stuff.
Whatever it is. We'll share it there.
Whatever the box is, yeah. Somewhere, yeah. Yeah, this will be on LinkedIn as well, but we'll tag you. No, I think it's really cool. It's inspiring to see, like, your story. One thing we didn't get into quickly, like, when you quit your job, did you have properties before this one completed? Like, did you have the money to enable yourself to quit, or did you just, like, go guns blazing?
So I had some, yeah. I think between myself and Laura, we had, I think it was something like three one-bed flats, a two-bed house, and a five-bed HMO. I think that was what we had, wasn't quite enough. So it was sort of we needed the next one to land and land successfully. You know, there was a bit of a, we needed that additional income. So it was a bit of a leap of faith.
Crazy. I love it.
Yeah.
So what's your goal? Imagine you're working full time with that deal.
So you're at 64. What's the goals? And like, is the great, like, do you want to keep accelerating that fast? I think that is like one of the most interesting points of this, is the fast acceleration, because so many people dream of having so many units, but actually doing it quickly, not waiting years between them, that's the really impressive bit that lots of people trying to work at it. That was the thing I used to really not understand, like, how do you do more than one in like a year? Like, I never used to get that. So it's such a cool strategy, and the title splitting is a big part of it. So you're just going to keep rinse and repeating that same thing.
It's a question that we've been starting to ask ourselves, to be honest. Like, what is the, you know, where do we stop? What is the top? What do we do? And the honest answer is, at this point, I'm not sure. So I'm still looking for deals. And people listening to this can send them to me if they want. But so I'm still looking for deals for us. I'm, you know, probably even more picky now than I have been in the past. It's got to be the best of the best, effectively. And I do find myself throwing a lot of deals in the bin, which actually are not bad deals, you know, but they're just not the one. I mean, you're right. There is a point where we stop, because I mean, already at 64 properties, that is, obviously. I don't know. You know, I have no idea who our tenants are. It's dealt with by letting agents. You know, sometimes I can't remember how many flats we've got. Thankfully, I never have to touch any keys, because that would drive me insane with that amount of keys. But yeah, it's, you know, we're managing the managers at this point. We've got three different locations. And I wouldn't want to open up too many more locations, like maybe more, like two tops, because even just having two more letting agents to deal with would just add to our daily workload, effectively. There will be a point where we stop, but we haven't quite hit it yet. I need to work out where it is.
I guess it's working backwards, isn't it, from what you want out of life? Not to be too dramatic, but like, literally life and what you need to afford it, basically. That's kind of what our mentor tells us with all of our goal setting. It's like, what do you want? And what do you need to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you shouldn't just be collecting them because you can.
Yeah.
No, 100%. Look at this. This is smack bang timing, an hour on the dot. I love it. I think this has been awesome. I learned so much. I know Eve's making notes, and this is what this is about, learning. Learning
free
other strategies.
Thank you, Jen.
Yeah, so good, because there's so many things that you can be doing in property. And you know, we're doing the service accommodation, we're doing amazing, we both left our jobs, we're starting to build our portfolio. But there's things like this that are just there, where you can make $300,000-$400,000 off a deal and then cash flow it at the same time. And you know, frankly, you didn't have that much information, like, you didn't have that much knowledge at that time. You've learned all of this from one deal and then obviously studying during it. So that's what it takes.
Yeah.
It's just this one strategy to focus and learn and then dive into it. And it can change your life, you know, change you and your partner's life completely. Now you're consulting other people.
Really
amazing, mate. It's honestly inspiring.
It shows the power of focusing on one thing, doesn't it? Like, it's a really good example of that as well. Like, not getting so distracted and trying to do loads of different deals and all the different strategies, but focus on something, become as knowledgeable as you have. And obviously, there's always learn, right? But like, and then implementing everything like within that realm, I just think it's so effective and it's obviously working so well for you. It's really cool.
Yeah,
yeah, 100%.
Yep. Definitely getting somewhat addicted to it, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, love it. I love it. Well, this has been fantastic. Final thing, what is any deals on the go at the moment or looking for the next one?
Yeah, just looking for the next one. Yeah, there's quite a few that I'm looking at any one time. I've got a portfolio that I'm very slowly managing to value unit by unit at the moment, and that would be the first non-block of flat portfolio, which is sort of in some ways is a natural progression. So it's a mix of HMOs and blocks of flats. That could be a good one.
The title splitting within those blocks of flats,
like, and there could be title splitting within those blocks of flats as well.
So
that's an interesting one to try and get
strategies.
And a lot of that's in the Cardiff area as well. So, might be in that.
Interesting. Quick, go find it.
Interesting. Amazing. Love it. Well, look, if anyone, wants to find James, we'll put his social details in the description. I do recommend just chatting to James. He's, as you can see, low knowledge. But this has been awesome. I've learned so many things. I know so many other people have. So I really appreciate your time. Come on here. We'll talk very soon, probably next week.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No worries.
Cheers. Cheerio.